Item number 16.
From the Interim Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the potential impact of the 2011-2013 state budget on the Milwaukee County Department of Health and Human Services. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good afternoon, Ms. Lighting.
Yes, good afternoon. Mid-afternoon. I won't, given the time, kind of dwell on those things that you've already heard, but point out, I think, a few additional issues as it relates to the Department of Health and Human Services. I just want to say that the $500 Medicaid unknown cuts, you know, have a wider, far-reaching impact on DHHS because it does include some inpatient community-based programming such as CSP, targeted case management. Our wraparound program is funded with Medicaid, as well as our crisis services. We draw down crisis revenue that supports some residential programming, as well as some other programs in Disability Services Division, and also delinquency is drawing down on Medicaid dollars too for crisis billing. In the Disability Services Division, one of the consequences of the cap of family care is that we operate children's waiver programs, and children have been able to, at age 18, move directly from the waivers into family care. They are immediately enrolled. Having some movement on the young population, young folks with disabilities, and having that provision allowed us in this last year to eliminate a 500-person waiting list of children who have disabilities with their families. As we started having some movement in November of 2009 all the way through 2010. So with that cap, that's going to mean create another waiting list of services for children with disabilities and their families that we worked so hard for with the children's waiver to eliminate last year. So that's an unintended consequence by the capping of family care that I wanted to point out. Also, for many individuals on the waiting list, they are using Medicaid services such as personal care and other types of services to hold on till they get long-term support benefits. So in any way, if any of the other Medicaid fee-for-service services are tampered with or the eligibility is changed, it could affect those services that individuals on the waiting list are using now that are funded through Medicaid while they wait to receive family care. So just given the whole unknown of that $500 million cut, I think it could have some far-reaching implications for the Department of Health and Human Services. Also, for younger folks with disabilities, the transportation piece, that transportation piece seriously affects people's ability to go to school, go to work. And if it's taken out of family care and in any way you see some reduction, that's going to mean folks now who have some ability for independence, they're going to be sitting at home, not able to get to school, not able to participate in day programs. So I think the broker, Medicaid broker for transportation, is a piece to watch. And while the transportation cuts don't necessarily impact our budget, it certainly impacts the folks that we support and serve, that you see what might happen to the paratransit system, because that is really their livelihood. I mean, that's how people get out. That's how people get around. And any further reductions there is certainly going to mean that individuals are going to have to be in the house, won't be able to get out. And there are so many people that have disabilities who work and are very dependent on paratransit to get to where they need to do, or some type of specialized transportation. So that will definitely, I think, impede there. The whole area of income maintenance, as you know, Milwaukee County, the Cox Building in particular, is the landlord for all of the income maintenance, or 80% of the income maintenance programs. With the whole move to perhaps centralize income maintenance functions and eliminate over 270 some odd positions, that could mean that those positions now currently operating out of the COG Center could be eliminated, and the county might see some legacy costs. Again, we're just waiting to find out, you know, what the whole impact will be for Milwaukee County. For most of the other counties, you know, it's going to be much more of an impact, where they've already taken us over. They've, you know, we are contributing to the total cost of income maintenance, but it could mean that they would vacate our building. We currently have, we think we're pretty comfortable with a lease for 211. We just finalized that. But for 212, I think it's still up in the air as to whether they would remain at the COGS building, and what would happen to those 200 and some odd positions. So I think that's still yet to be determined. Also, I think the last area that I want to point out that hasn't been mentioned is the whole GPR reduction. Actually, DHHS, that impact could affect both alcohol and substance abuse and mental health programs. We were told that our basic community aids would be intact, but as you see in the report, in 211, we still have about $980,000 that could be impacted this year, and $1.2 million in 202. And this revenue is directly tied to programs. So, you know, we would have to really look at what we would do, reduction of services, reduction of staff. I mean, we'd really have to come up with some kind of plan in order to address that as well. It does look like that the $6.8 million of grant funding that was in the BHD budget that was not for 211 is still in the repair bill, and that would be covered. So at this point, it looks like we don't necessarily have to worry about that. But I think, you know, we'll just wait and see when the entire budget is passed. And the last point, I think Stephanie made this point really well. When the Disability Services Division moved to family care, you will remember there was $8 million of basic community aids money that also went with the whole fold over into family care. So the dollars that were there to provide some of the safety net services are gone. So any further reductions you will see, we just don't have any dollars to provide services. The only dollars that were remaining, which could be at jeopardy, are those dollars that are funding services to people who are not family care eligible. Because all of those that were family care eligible, we moved, you know, to move over into family care, and we're funding services now for people that aren't, and that is currently at risk. Plus, $8 million went and folded into family care when we moved all those individuals out. In addition, the county put about $3 million of tax levy in this year to help support that transition. So I do think that whole, that piece could just be real devastating and crumbling a lot of what we've worked for and we've moved toward to try to eliminate that waiting list. And I think Maria indicated we still have a number of older families on waiting lists who have children who are middle age, who've really been hanging on, waiting to get off of that waiting list. We started with a waiting list of 3,000. We are now at 2,000. In fact, we are now starting to serve individuals who were referred to us in 209, where we had individuals been waiting up to 10 years. So we see going back to that same thing we had before, where we've worked so hard to move individuals off and get that waiting list down. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Do we have any questions for the July day? I just had a quick question, and that's in regards to the income maintenance workers.
Mm-hmm.
In January, the income maintenance workers received notice that they would have to reapply for their positions. Do you know anything about the direction that the state may be going with that?
No. In fact, we're having a meeting next week to finalize our lease. The last meeting we had, they were still very unclear about, you know, how they were going to centralize this, what positions it was going to affect, because that number is statewide. And they do have some other, some actual other positions that they're looking at as well. So we're trying to get clarification on exactly what that will mean. But we also understood that they were asked to reapply for their positions as well.
Okay, but you don't know.
No, we don't have any further details.
All right. Because on the one hand, it really doesn't make sense for them to continue to be county employees. But on the other hand, we had received communication from the past administration that possibly income maintenance would be returned to Milwaukee County, in which case it would make sense to continue that relationship with our employees.
Mm-hmm.
So
we had heard that they probably would be state employees.
Okay.
That if they move toward the centralization, they would all move and become state employees at that time.
Okay.
But that is not definite. There's still a lot of details with reference to that whole centralization. And then some of that staff would actually provide those functions to the Division of Children and Family Services. And there may be some expansion there. But in terms of how they're going to work that out, because I understand they're still trying to get waivers from federal waivers that would allow this to happen, and it is not as clean as they had originally thought. There still is the provision that municipalities must administer entitlement benefits. That's not changed. And so how they're going to roll that out, I think, is yet to be determined.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right.